We're going to try to jam in some painful truth when we can with this series of prophecy lessons. So go to Proverbs chapter 8 this morning. We're going to talk about the fear of God. I got 20 things about the fear of God. We'll do a couple every week. Also, if you didn't get the Sunday morning text, the Sunday morning text this morning was on he that walketh with wise men is wise. And how about those that influence us and guide us, and how we can be a good influencer and guider as well? If you'd like to get the Sunday morning painful truth text, if you just give me your cell phone number, write it down on a piece of paper, I'll add you to the list. Here's the way it works. All the men's phone numbers go in my phone, and all the ladies' phone numbers go in my wife's phone. And I send out a group text with a broadcast group text, so when you reply, it only goes to me, and she does the same thing. So if you want to be added to the list, just give me your phone number. We can do that. It's been an encouragement and blessing to other people. What it does for me is it motivates me to get something from the Word of God for me, so I have something to share with you. So it's really, it helps me, and I hope it helps you, but it's good for me. So, and Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to be talking about the fear of God. Those who fear God now won't be afraid of God after the rapture. Now think about that. Think about these lessons on prophecy. Last week was the first lesson on the judgments of God. So we're going to go through these lessons on the judgments of God. And people are going to be afraid of God during the tribulation period because God's pouring out His wrath and His judgment upon the earth. But those that have the fear of God now won't be afraid of God after the rapture, because we'll be in heaven enjoying I don't know about the bema seat of Christ, but we'll be in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, and then we'll be enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. That, I can't imagine what that's going to be. You know, when you get together with your family, and you, like when we get together with all our kids and grandkids once a year, Thanksgiving or Christmas, we have a wonderful time. Now magnify that by a billion. That's what it's going to be like at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a glorious, wonderful time. But during that time, the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth. So the fear of God now keeps us from being afraid of the wrath of God to come during the tribulation period, because we won't be part of it. Psalms chapter 33:8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." That is not taking place in our world today. But during the tribulation period, it will. That verse will come to truth, come to fruition in the tribulation period. All the earth will fear the Lord, and all the inhabitants will stand in awe of Him. Those who have the proper fear of God now won't be afraid of God during the tribulation, because we'll be enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you're in Proverbs chapter 8, go to verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. That word forward means not willing to comply with what is required. It is unyielding to the will of God and is disobedient to the Word of God. Now you think about the world that we live in today. How many people are living with a desire to be yielded to the will of God and to be obedient to the Word of God? And how many people don't care what the Word of God says at all? Have never read it, don't have any intent to read it, maybe not even believe in God. We have to understand that the Bible is a living book. And when we speak to God in prayer, and God speak to us through His living Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I hope that you talk to God this morning, and I hope that God talk to you through His Word. And how many people in this world don't even care about that at all? Sadly, a lot of those people will go through the tribulation period because they have no fear of God. They don't care about His Word. They don't care about His will. They don't care. They don't even understand what they're missing when they deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But they will then. And that's the sad situation. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, the fear of God is defined as a holy awe and reverence of God and His laws, which spring from a just view and a real love of the divine character, leading subjects to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. The fear of God is a holy awe of God's word and a love for God's word that motivates us to be obedient to the point of perfect obedience, to be like Jesus. Think of, if that was a goal of every Christian, think about how much more influence born-again Christians could have in our world today. If we all could have this, the proper fear of God. In Psalms 31:19, the Bible says, "O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." You know that God has set aside and reserved blessings for those that fear Him, that have a desire to live according to His Word, that love the Word of God, that love Him, that desire to be willing and yielded to His perfect will for their lives. God has blessings reserved in heaven just for each individual person, and nobody else can have them. When you read about the portion that God has reserved for you, that's your exclusive benefits that God has for you. And if you'll live like God wants you to live, He'll pour out those blessings upon you. But it's contingent on us being obedient to the Word of God, living according to the will of God, and then God will bless us like He wants to. We're going to miss out on a lot of stuff just because we chose not to live like God wanted us to live. So, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now, you're in Proverbs chapter 8. Look at Psalms chapter 34 real quick. We'll go to a few verses this morning. Psalms chapter 34. Now, think about the fear of God and how it affects our life today, and how the absence of the fear of God will affect people's lives in the tribulation period. That's how I want to look at this fear of the Lord, how it affects us now, and how the lack of this fear will affect others that don't get saved during the tribulation period. Psalms 34:11 says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." The fear of God has to be taught. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to understand the fear of the Lord. You have to be taught the fear of the Lord. How do we get taught the fear of the Lord? Sunday school, preaching, Bible study, influence of the Holy Spirit. Read the book of Proverbs every day. That's the book of wisdom. It teaches us a lot about the fear of God in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs a day helps keep sin and Satan away. It's the most important book in the Bible as far as wisdom goes. And man, there's so much stuff in the book of Proverbs, you can read it every month for the rest of your life and you won't get everything out of it. It is packed full of stuff. So I encourage you, read the book of Proverbs every day. Psalms chapter 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear God, that fear Him, and delivereth them." You know, God protects those that fear Him, and He will protect us from the wrath to come during the tribulation period because we won't be here. In Psalms 86:11, the Bible says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." So we got to fear God from our heart. We got to walk in the truth of the Word of God, which means it has to be the primary influence in our life. What is the primary influence in your life? Is it a person? Is it the person of God? Is He influencing you through this to the living Word of God? Or is it somebody else? Is it yourself? Is it your mentor, whoever that may be? The most important influence in our life should be the Word of God. Because that's the truth. That's gonna keep us in the right path and on the right path. Psalms 112, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments." You know, do we delight in the commandments of God, or are we living in rebellion? You know, what does a teenager say? "I'm so sick and tired of people telling me what to do." What do? They go join the army. I don't think they're thinking about that really through, but think about that. And sometimes we have that same attitude. I get so tired of people telling me what to do. You know, someone's going to be telling you what to do forever. Wouldn't it be best just to yield to God and let Him tell you what to do? If you believe that God's way is the best way to live, you will be in the Word of God and you'll yield yourself to the Word of God. You'll let the Bible commandments, you'll delight greatly in the commandments of God. It's not just the Ten Commandments. It's all the truths that are in the Word of God, the things that God wants us to do, how He wants us to live, the things that He wants us to emulate in our lives. God's way is the best way to live. It is, right? So are we doing it? Are we living God's way? Are we in God's book, living God's way, desiring to be under the blessings of God because of our obedience to Him and His Word? That's what the fear of God is. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Turn there real quick. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's number one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which is a clear and certain perception of that which exists and of truth and fact. God has a perfect knowledge of all that exists, of truth and fact, because He is the creator of all that is. Who better to learn from than the one who made it all? We cannot gain knowledge if we are not willing to be taught. The fear of the Lord makes us teachable, opening our heart and mind to the truths contained in the Word of God and allowing God to transform us into the person that He wants us to be. How is that going to take place? Through the preaching and the teaching and the yielding of our lives to the Word of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have to be yielded to God's Word. Our goal should be in perfect obedience to be like Jesus. Now you think about it. Jesus did not want to separate Himself from the Father. He did not want to become sin. He did not want to die a terrible, grueling death on the cross. But what did He say? "Not my will, but thy will be done." And He was willing to become the ultimate sacrifice for us, our living example of how we are supposed to live for God. "Not my will, but thine be done." So we need to be in the Word of God. You old timers will remember Patti LaRue. She used to sing a song, "I See Jesus in You." That should be our goal. The proper fear of the Lord will help us to be the Christian the Lord wants us to be and for people to see Jesus in us. See, if people saw me and all they saw was Greg Payne, they wouldn't be blessed at all. Because I know what, you see, Ron doesn't believe the stories I tell. He don't think that I was vile, filthy, wild, immoral, ungodly, drunken idiot. But I was. And anything better than that is just the grace of God. It really is. So if we want to be used of God, then we got to let God transform us. We can't do that unless we're yielded. We can't do that unless we really believe in the power of the Word of God. I stand before you as a testimony of what the living Word of God can do to a person who desires to be somewhat like God wants him to be. Now, I need God every day. I fail God every day. I need God's love, God's grace, God's mercy every day. God's forgiveness. I need it every day. We all do. But that doesn't mean that we can't strive to be the person that God wants us to be, to bring glory and honor unto Him, and enjoy the manifold blessings of God in our life and on our families. But it all starts with the fear of the Lord. We can't have the knowledge of God without the fear of God. We can't have the blessings of God without the fear of God. One more and we'll have to quit. The fear of the Lord is a choice. God gave us a free will. Those who choose not to fear the Lord, hate God's word, do not seek God's way, have no interest in fulfilling God's will, and when fear and destruction comes into their lives and they cry out to God, the Bible says He will not hear them. Look at Proverbs 25, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 25. Proverbs 1:25. But ye have said it, these people have prayed, and verse 24, because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. That's God reaching down to them. Now they reach up to Him. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and as destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I think a lot of that's going to take place in the tribulation period. They're going to cry out to God, and God is not going to hear, because you know what? It's too late. The wrath of God is being poured out, and grace and mercy and the Holy Spirit are gone. And that's sad. And I don't want anybody to go through that. That part of the goal of these lessons is to encourage us and motivate us to reach out with the gospel to other people so that they can be saved and not have to go through the tribulation period. If you're not saved, this is a time to trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. If you are away from God or not right with Him, come back and get right today. Proverbs 1:33 says, but whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The fear of the Lord helps us to dwell in safety and peace, no fear of tribulation for the born-again child of God. So that's our painful truth this morning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is a choice. We'll continue those as we have time in the future lessons. Now I would like you to go to, let's see, where are we going to go? We're going to go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Last week we talked about the last week's lesson was on God's pouring out His wrath upon the earth. There was the delusion of the Antichrist, lawlessness, and worldwide war, famine. 25% of the population died. Think about that. 2 billion people die when God starts pouring out His wrath. Up to that point, they died from war, disease, starvation, wild animal attacks. Christians that are on the earth are being persecuted. There's chaos throughout the world. But yet, with all that going on, 144,000 Jews are saved. Isn't that amazing? With all this chaos and destruction and death going on, God is still reaching out to the Jewish people, and they're being saved. Now, we're going to talk about the first four of the seven trumpets. So there's seven judgments come during the time of the tribulation known as the seven trumpets. Romans 12:19 is a memory verse, if you want to write it down. Romans 12:19, dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That word, give place, means an indefinite period of time. God tells us, dearly beloved, that's His children, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but give place unto wrath. God says that we are supposed to give an indefinite period of time to us pouring out our wrath on people who do us wrong. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let God do the vengeance. Okay, let Him take care of your enemies. Don't take things into your own hands. Wait on God. I read these verses this morning. I want you to think about these verses in light of the tribulation. Proverbs 13:13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now think about that. Where are we going to be? The judgment seat of Christ, getting our rewards. What's going to be going on in the earth? The wrath of God. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. We're not saying that now, are we? But during the tribulation period, that's going to take place. Proverbs 13:21 said, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. We're going to be up in heaven. The righteous will be receiving good at the marriage supper of the Lamb, but during the tribulation period, evil will be pursuing sinners because Satan is going to be unleashed. And all those demons that are in the pit are going to be turned loose. See, we read these verses and we don't see it happening, but it's going to happen. See, it's going to happen. You know, I read Job this morning. Job said in Job 21 and verse 30, here's what it says in the book of Job. Job 21 verse 30, the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. See, that's going to happen. It's not happening now, but it's going to happen during the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and they were given the seven trumpets. When the seventh seal is opened, seven angels beholding the trumpets will appear. There is a specific judgment of God connected to each trumpet. These judgments are called the trumpet judgments. Number one in your book, if you have your booklets, number one, the judgments are so great that it causes silence in heaven for a time period of about 30 minutes long. The judgments are so great that it causes silence in heaven for a time period of about 30 minutes long. You think about that. When the seven trumpet judgments are revealed to the people in heaven, they are so awestruck with the destruction that's going to take place that there is a hush in heaven. Now think about that. During the marriage supper of the Lord, it's going to be a big, great, big party, right? But all of a sudden, silence. Because they realize the awesome power of God and His wrath is about to be laid out upon the earth through the seven trumpets. And it's like, whoa. Number two in your book, during the seven trumpet judgments, the world is ruled by Satan. During the seven trumpet judgments, the world is ruled by Satan. Demonic forces are empowered and at work as never before during the fifth and sixth judgment. Now, we're only going to cover the first four today, so come back next week for 5, 6, and 7. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 through 6 says, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. We see that the prayers of the persecuted saints are brought before God. God will respond to these prayers of the persecuted believers. The trumpet judgments are in part God's response to the prayers of His people. God hears and answers prayer. In this lesson, we will look at the first four of the trumpet judgments. Number one, the brewing storm. Revelation 8, 7. And the first angel sounded, and there was followed hail mingled with blood, and there was cast upon the earth. A third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, think about that. Number three on your sheet, in the first trumpet judgment, God sends hail and fire to the earth. This fire and hail is mingled with blood, which is possibly the blood of the martyrs. This hail and fire does great damage, way more damage than it did during the plagues in Egypt, when only Egypt was affected. The whole world will be affected. One-third of the earth's forests will be burned up, and all the prairie grass will be burned up throughout the world. It's going to affect everybody and every area on the earth when this judgment is cast out. Number four, during the time of tribulation, the first trumpet judgment will affect the whole world. Number four, during the time of tribulation, the first trumpet judgment will affect the whole world. Then we have number two, the boiling sea. Revelation 8:8-9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. A great mountain burning with fire. In Notice the words, as it were, they signify and symbolize. Number five on your book there, number five, this means that something the size of a great mountain that is burning with fire is cast into the sea. This means that something the size of a great mountain that is burning was cast into the sea. Maybe it's a meteorite that comes from outer space. But remember, it's huge. It's the size of a great mountain. It's like Pike's Peak. It's huge. You know, 16,000 feet, 12,000 feet tall. So it's 3-4 miles in diameter. And think of it crashing into the Mediterranean Sea. And it destroys one-third of the sea life under the ocean. It destroys one-third of the human life above the ocean. So a third of the ships this is worldwide. A third of the ships are destroyed. Think about the tidal wave that would take place. If a meteor hit the middle of the Mediterranean Sea and all the tidal wave and how it would affect the people on shore. But it destroys a third of all the sea life and a third of all the human life that's on the sea. How many ships are in the sea right now being transported things all over the world? A third of those ships will be destroyed, and those people will perish. A third of the life under the sea will perish when this great mountain that is burning is cast into the sea during the second trumpet. The third trumpet is the banished star. Revelation 8:11, and the third angel sounded, and there was a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. Number seven, a burning star falls from heaven. Number seven, a burning star falls from heaven. The star is described as burning as a lamp. The star falls and has an effect on a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the water. That's the rivers. That's the wells. That's all fresh water in the earth. Think about that. One third of the fresh water on the planet is poisoned, undrinkable, and deadly. What does the human body need more than anything else? Water. Now, you think about that. What's going to happen? Think about people fighting over money. Think of people going to be fighting over water. Because they're not going to be able to live without water. Number eight, the star is given a name. It's called wormwood. We know what wormwood is, right, from the Bible. It's poison. The water becomes bitter. It becomes poison. And anybody who drinks the water will die. Now, you think about that. Think about a third part of the Kentucky River being poisoned. A third of all the wells in this county being poisoned. How many people are going to be affected if a third of our water supply is poisoned? And this is now, this is worldwide. A lot of people are going to die. And a lot of things are going to take place because of the shortage of water. Just like the shortage of food and famine. Now, what about the animals? They're going to be affected too, right? Okay. What about the people that irrigate their crops that we eat and the animals that we eat? If a third of the water is destroyed, what's going to happen to fruits, vegetables, and our meat sources? You think they're going to flourish on poisoned water or no water? See, it's more than just drinking water that's affected. A lot of things get affected when the water is not available or the water goes bad. So we really got to think this thing out about what's going to happen and how important it is that we reach out to people with the gospel now. Because of all that's going to happen during the tribulation period, it's going to be terrible. We can't even understand it. We can't even imagine how destructive and how terrible it is. Did you get that first statement at the beginning of the lesson? Demonic forces are empowered and at work as never before during the fifth and sixth trumpet. Satan will rule the earth. Do you think Satan's going to have any compassion upon these people? You think there's going to be any COVID relief? Stimulus checks? You think Satan's going to try to do anything to help these people? And where's God going to be? It's going to be bad, isn't it? It's going to be a terrible, terrible situation. Number four, the blackened sky. Revelation 8:12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Number nine, in your books, the sun, moon, and stars are smitten. The sun, moon, and stars are smitten. One third part of the sun, the moon, and the stars are destroyed. It's a brownout. The atmospheric heaven is judged during this judgment. This creates a darkness upon the earth. Number 10 in your books is, this is not a complete blackout, but rather a brownout that will dim the brightness of the day and the night. One third of the daytime is darker than usual, and one third of the nighttime is darker than usual. You know, the moon does give light at night, and the stars do give light at night. Think about a harvest moon out in the country where there's no man-made source of light. There is light. But the moon is going to be dimmed, and it's going to lose one-third of its light, so it's going to be dimmer. And there's going to be a period of time where the sun is not going to shine as brightly as it does during the day. Now we think, okay, it'll be cooler out. When we're going through this heat wave, it's like, yeah, relief. But think about what the sun does. You know, we need the sun. The sun gives us vitamin D. The sun makes our crops grow. So now we already got the forest, a third of the forest is destroyed. The prairie grass, all the grass on the face of the earth is burned up. We got a water shortage. And now we got a sun shortage. So the plants that do get water don't get enough sun. What does corn need this time of the year? Water and sun. Right? If it doesn't get it, the corn crop is going to be bad. The corn crop is bad, what happens? People suffer. Because the corn feeds the cows and the cows feeds us. You see how this thing just keeps multiplying? And there's one disaster on top of another disaster on top of another disaster, and things just get worse and worse and worse. Chaos elevates. Death, destruction continues to multiply upon the earth as God pours out his wrath. And more is yet to come. We saw the judgments of the horses. Now we've seen the first four of the trumpet judgments. But God's not done. And he's going to continue to pour out his wrath upon the earth. Doesn't that make you glad that you're saved? Doesn't it make you glad that the Bible teaches in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? I don't want to go through any of that stuff. You know, so number one, praise God you're saved. And rejoice in the fact that you're going to be in heaven, receiving whatever rewards that you have earned on this earth, and enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. And pray for people to get saved, because there's going to be a heap of trouble on the earth that we cannot imagine. And once again, these lessons are intended to educate us on what will happen. Now remember, the Word of God is true. And what God says in his word will happen just like he says. So all this stuff is going to happen. God wants us to do our part to make sure as many people are with us at the marriage supper of the Lamb, avoiding the destruction and the chaos and the wrath and judgment of God on the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these lessons, Lord. It is a sobering thought to realize a little bit of what it's going to be like when you pour out your holy wrath upon the earth. God, help us to rejoice in our salvation. God, help us to share the gospel message wherever we can. God, help us to pray for the salvation of lost souls. God, help us to live in the proper fear of you that will motivate us, God, to become the Christians that you want us to be. God, bless the service to follow. Be with our preacher. Bless Mrs. Angel, especially this week as they celebrate their anniversary. We ask, God, that you continue to bless Faith Baptist Church. Thank you for all you do for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Right on time.